Well, this morning, my wife is going to speak to you today. Isn't she beautiful? She's so pretty. I get the pleasure of being able to live with this woman, and she is a great woman, and she thinks about you guys so much, loves on you very, very, very much, keeps me straight, and not just doing the right things, but doing things out of love. She always keeps love before me, you know, and she always says, Parky, let's love, and it's always such a blessing and an honor to and a help to me to have her today. So the Lord's given her a word today, and she's going to share it. Now, I'm sorry she has to sit, but as you can tell, she has had something happen to her foot. For those of you who didn't know, my wife got ran over in Sam's parking lot. Now I can't get her back to Sam's any longer. But she got hit by a big truck, and it ran over her foot and broke her foot. So she's about to heal because we're going to Africa. So she's healing up. And so, honey, you be blessed today, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Am I on? I guess I am. Yeah, I have a... Would it get better? Okay. I feel like I'm in a bucket. Yeah, I have my stormtrooper boot on. I know most of you are envious. But God is healing me, and I'm excited about going to Africa in July. We've got a whole team going, and it's going to be awesome. I pray that the Lord today will help me speak truth with mercy. Because if truth is only spoken by itself, it can cause fear. But if truth is spoken with mercy, it can cause change. It can cause love to happen. It can cause gratitude. So that's my prayer today, that the Lord will help me speak truth with mercy. You know, we're in the Hebrew month of Iyar. I don't know if you keep up with the Hebrew calendar, but it's really interesting to do that because then you know the times and the seasons that we're in. And right now, the month of Iyar is the month that's between Passover and Pentecost. And from Passover to Pentecost, the Lord gives us a season to do spring cleaning. And the spring cleaning is in here. It's in our souls. And it's real important that during this time, we follow Him and we do our spring cleaning. So at Pentecost, when His Holy Spirit is poured out, we're ready. We're ready to be filled up. How many of you want more of Him? Yes. More than you have? Amen. There's some people over here that don't want more. I'm sorry. We'll pray for y'all. Maybe you're just asleep. I want more of Him. I want all of Him I can get. I want to know Him as He can be known on this earth. That's what Enoch said. He said, I want to know you as much as I can on this earth, and I want to know Him that way. I want to know Him as much as I can. Today I want to read out of Mark 5, and the guys have it up there on the overhead for me. Thank you, guys. We love our sound and lighting people, the guys that do our overheads. Woo-hoo. They're wonderful, and they're seldom recognized, so I just want to say thank you, guys. We really appreciate what you do. They come early every Sunday just to bless us, just to help us, and they're here on Wednesday nights, too, and it's just wonderful. So Mark 5, I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. You may have Gerasenes in your Bible. It's the same thing. And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus? Or what business do we have with each other? Or what do we have in common? Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered by saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country or out of the region. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. You know, I've heard this story preached several times in my lifetime. And it seems like it's always about Legion or it's about the demoniac. But this story is not about Legion. And it's not about the demoniac. The story is about the compassion of Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. Say that. It's always about Jesus. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Notice how many times the word tombs is used here. It says, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him. And then it says, night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs. Do you think the Lord is wanting us to know that he was in the tombs? Probably. If he says it three times, he's wanting us to understand he was in the tombs. That's where this man was. You know, a tomb is a place of remembrance. It's a place that's marked. A place where someone is buried. A place where we remember them. When we were in Israel, we saw some tombs that have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's amazing. Over here, if something's 200 years old, it's really old. Over there, if it's 3,000 years old, it's fairly old. But there were tombs there, and a lot of them were weathered. A lot of them were moss-covered. The inscription on them was faint, but you could still see a lot of the inscriptions. You know, an inscription tells something about the person, doesn't it? This was a good man, or this man, you know, here lies Samuel Rosenstein, and he, you know, was a farmer or was a tailor. It marks a place of remembrance so that we can remember that person. You know, wounds in our souls do the same thing. They can be tombstones, the wounds. They can be places that are marked for remembrance. And a lot of times, those tombstones in our souls, those wounds in our souls, pop up from time to time, don't they? Seems like in the middle of the night, they pop up a lot. You know, you're laying there awake, and you rehearse something over and over in your head, you know? And it could be something as simple as an embarrassment, something that really embarrassed you. It could be a relationship that went really bad and ended badly. It could be something more serious, like a rape or a trauma, a failure, a business failure. But these things tend to pop up just like a tombstone, a remembrance where we look at the inscription and we read it over and over. And sometimes we have a hard time getting rid of it, don't we? You know, if this naked man, because it says in other translations and other places in the Word that this was a naked man that ran to Jesus screaming, if he had run to me or any of us, I think we would have backed up a little bit, you know? Yeah, gone the other way. But notice what Jesus did. He had compassion. He knew this man had a wound. Something wasn't right. This wasn't just your average citizen. This was a man that lived in the graveyard. Why did he pick the graveyard? Why did he pick the place of the dead? And why was he naked? Naked. Sorry, for those who aren't from Texas. Here we're naked. He didn't have any clothes on. Something wasn't right, you know? And he cried out. It says he cried out day and night. He was screaming. And with the mountains around him, you know the people in the nearby villages and neighborhoods could hear that. With this man, they knew he was there. They knew he was screaming and crying out. He was so wounded in his soul. Something had gone terribly, terribly wrong in his life. And the Lord knew that. He had compassion on this man. He didn't back up. He just told the spirit to leave. He had authority over that spirit. Jesus was sinless, so he has authority over all spirits, right? And if that same spirit lives in you, then it says that we will do even more than Jesus did. Okay, why are we not seeing it? Are we seeing us do more than Jesus did? Maybe you do. I'd like to come to your house. I'd like to visit with you. Because at my house, we do have some successes. We do see some great things happen. The greatest thing is that Jesus saved me and Parky. And that was hard. Because we were hard-headed. It took a long time. We had to go to the very bottom before we looked up. I'm thankful for the people that prayed for us. But you know, it's important to remember that this man was wounded. He wasn't just some crazy naked man running around. He was wounded. He was a human. He was hurting, right? And so Jesus had compassion on him. Yes, he got rid of the spirits. He told him, get out of there. And they were begging him, please don't torment us. Can we go into the pigs? He said, yeah, go into the pigs and then we'll drown the pigs. And he did. About 2,000 spirits. Can you imagine the chaos in that man's head to have that many spirits in him? But praise God for Jesus, that he had compassion, that he saw that man as a wounded soul. We all are. We're all wounded souls, whether we want to admit it or not. I remember a time in my life when I was thinking, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good. And then I prayed, and the Lord said, let's work on this. And I thought, oh, man, I'm not doing so good after all. And then he went deeper, and I was like, ooh, I'm really not doing good. But, you know, his truth and his mercy and his compassion are always there for us. As we run out of our tombs, those tombs that leave us with the horrible memories that we play over and over in our heads, and we run out of those tombs naked, vulnerable, exposed. That's the main thing, exposed, to feel that everybody knows. And nobody's like us. That's the lie that the enemy tells us. We're the only ones wounded. We're the only ones that lay in bed at night and worry about this. That's so not true. Parky and I do a lot of counseling. Everybody's wounded. We all have feet of clay up to our armpits. But you know, that's where the Lord's compassion comes in. He sees our souls. He says, John says in 3 John, Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Jesus' desire, our desire, is that you have prosperity of soul, that you'll be prosperous in your soul. That means that you'll have excellence in your soul, that your soul is healed, and that you're set free from those tombstones so they're not popping up anymore. Don't they pop up at the worst times? Maybe when you're under stress or pressure, and it just seems like then everything is popping up. You have a whole graveyard that you're trying to wade through with no clothes on. You're exposed. The Lord has compassion. Jesus is there, and he has compassion on you. Maybe you weren't parented well. Those of you that have lost your moms, you're hurting today. You're missing your mom. I understand. That would be so hard. But Jesus is there. He's there for you. Just grab his hand and don't let that tombstone be what dictates your life. Don't let that wound in your soul, that hurt from that trauma of losing your parent, don't let that tombstone be what defines you. Don't let that abortion be what defines you. Don't let what people say about you be what defines you. Be prosperous in your soul. Let the Lord work on you and let him prosper your soul. We're going to do spring cleaning, remember? That's actually where the term spring cleaning came from, was from the Hebrew, because that's what they did in the spring between Passover and Pentecost. They cleaned house. They cleaned the leaven out. You know, soul wounds can be caused by sin. And Parkey's talked about this some. We're both kind of going through this soul cleansing thing right now. And it's good, but it's not easy. It's not a lot of fun sometimes. But it's very, very good. It's very healthy for us to do that. And that's what we wish above all things, that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You know, sometimes your physical prosperity, your physical health, your financial health, some of those are connected to wounds in your soul. If you're frustrated with where you are, let the Lord do some work on you. Maybe it's you. You want to blame your situation, your circumstance, things in the past, things that were done to you. Maybe it's you. Maybe the Lord's saying, come here, you're naked and you're running around in the tombstones. I know you're hurting. Come here and let me heal you. Let me help you. He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. You can go to spas and, you know, have a massage and get a measure of peace. It lasts for a few minutes. You know, you can go on vacation, and that's fun. But wherever you go, there you are, you know. You follow you wherever you go. And your wounded soul goes with you on vacation. It usually doesn't stay at home. A lot of times we pack a big trunk with our wounded soul and we're dragging it on vacation with us, walking on the beach. Isn't this fun? I would just encourage you during this season, don't miss an opportunity to let the blood of Jesus cleanse you and heal you. That's what he wants to do. That's what his blood is for. He paid a ransom for your soul. It says in the word, he ransomed our souls. Our souls had been taken captive by the enemy, and the blood of Jesus paid the ransom and got us out of the tombs. We don't have to live there. You don't have to stay in the tombs anymore. You can come out, even if you're naked. Naked. How do you say it? I don't even know how to say it now. You know, sin is not the only thing that can wound your soul. Trauma can wound your soul. If you had a long-term illness, somebody in your house, your family had a long-term illness, you had a wreck, you had a, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of trauma. Like I said, rape, things like that can wound your soul. Traumas can wound your soul. Have you ever been through a trauma of some sort? Some kind of trauma? A lot of us have. Middle school was a trauma. The whole thing. Every day was a trauma. Middle school was tough. People were not nice in middle school. Kids are trying to learn to have relationships. They're just mean. And I'm sure they're meaner now than they ever were. You know, it's important that we do this for our children, too, that we help them with the wounds in their souls. Because they're in a tough world. We all live here on this earth. And it's important that we get our souls healed and cleaned and set free so that we can lead others in being healed and cleaned and set free. Have you ever opened your mouth and your mother popped out? Sorry, Mom. Our tongues can wound, can't they? Just things that have been said to us and about us, that can be a trauma. That can wound our souls. You know, it's funny, you think of things that happened years ago, and you think, why am I even thinking about that? And why do I keep thinking about that? But it's a trauma. That's a sign. If you keep thinking about it over and over, if you dream about it, if it keeps coming up, the Lord's speaking to you. He's saying this is something that needs to be dealt with. Even if it seems minute, even if it seems small, our souls can be wounded by small things. You know, just somebody not approving of you when you're young. Somebody rejecting you when you're young. Somebody abandoning you when you're young. Abandonment's horrible. Feeling alone. Feeling like there's no one there for you. No one loves you. That's trauma. It wounds your souls. So, the word says we wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And then Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden or burdened. Have you ever seen somebody bent over? Did you know sometimes that can be caused by a wound in their soul? Their physical problem or physical appearance can be caused by a wound. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart. He's gentle. He's kind. He's compassionate. Remember the man in the tombs. He was compassionate about him. He was not appalled at him. That man was in a really, really bad spiritual situation. And Jesus did not back away from him. And neither will he back away from you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you are carrying in your soul. I don't care what secret you have. He will never back away from you. He is strong. He is powerful. But he is gentle. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that awesome? He says, come here. Come here. I know you're tired of this. Find rest for your soul. That's what we want. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God. Praise God for the freedom he bought for us. I just like to end with just giving you a tool, because some of you may be saying, okay, so yeah, let's do this, but how do I do it? And I just want to give you a real simple tool that may help you get started. I'm not saying that this does everything for you. I'm just saying this is a place to start. When you pray, we enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. So you begin with thanksgiving, and then you praise him. You go into praise. Okay? And then you're in his presence. You're there. He's right there. You may not feel him right away, but he's right there. He promised he would be there. He promised he would meet us. So then you bring whatever that memory is, whatever that tombstone is, whatever that thing is in your soul that causes you grief, that causes you wounds, that causes you hurt. You bring that to him and you say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for this. Or please help me with this trauma, this hurt, this pain, whatever it is. I ask you to cover it in your blood. Wash it clean by your blood, your powerful, awesome blood that was made a ransom for me. Okay? And then, after he's done that, you ask him for his resurrection power to come into that wounded place and heal your soul. Come into that wounded place and provide excellence of soul. His dunamis power, the power for miracles. That is the power for miracles. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and will quicken our mortal bodies. That means he can provide a miracle to heal your wounded soul. He can heal it. He wants to heal it. Run to him out of the tombs. Run to him and let him give you rest for your soul. He won't back up. He'll provide compassionate, gentle love to you. He'll provide healing for your soul. Does it seem like that we kind of go around and around the same mountains, the same issues over and over sometimes? Don't you get tired of going around and around Mount Sinai over and over and over? This is the season. This is the season when he's ready to heal your soul. Whether it's sin or trauma, some sin that somebody caused against you, he's ready. He's right there. So you've got the blood of Jesus. You've got the dunamis power that provides excellence of soul. You've got that miracle working power. Man, that's a recipe for victory. That's a recipe for healing. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood and your resurrection power. I thank you that we do not serve a dead king in a tomb, but we serve a risen, victorious Savior, and he provides healing for our souls. Lord, I just pray over each person here. I seal this word with your blood. Father, I thank you that you are good, and your mercy endures forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.